back in the Mishnah on Mem Aleph Amud Beis, and we just finished reading the Mishnah. One comment that I think there's a lot in this sugya. This is not a simple sugya. Let's put it that way. There's a major machlokas harishonim. Major machlokas harishonim in regards to the Mishnah. That lo speak alaman bedin achabagra o achanises. So, what does the Mishnah say the din is? No, lo speak alaman bedin achabagra o nises. So it's sheshel atzma. Why is boshes and pagam and sar go to her? Perfect. You are the Rashba and Rashi. You are Tosis and the Rama. And you're the Ravids on your side too. So that's a question. When the Mishnah says Harein Shalatzma, so the Pshat is undoubtedly like Tosfos and the Rambam. You look at Tosas for a moment. Tema tenach knas ala boshes subgam de mamona hu da achem boy the meve. The shema mikroi del el denafki boshes subgam iskush adadi kit pirashnal el. So Tosas suggests that maybe it's a hekesh. Maybe it's a hekesh between knas and boshes subgam and the tsar. Any of the damages that come in the same act that machayev the knas. And if the knas goes to her, then the rest of the stuff goes as well. And this, again, if you remember the theoretical discussion that I had on Sunday, goes back to sort of the heart of the issue, is that what's the connection between the knas and the mamon in the particular act? Like we noted that by kefel dalvehei, it was much more mistaver to say that if the, let's say the father was never amad badin on the geneva. So I thought it should be a davar pashut, but it's not such a davar pashut, that if the children... If the children can be toveya the keren from the ganav, let's say the father dies, even without it was not mamad the ganav bedin, and now the children want to be mamad the ganav bedin on the keren, presumably they should be able to get the kefal and the albahe as well. One could have argued that with respect to the kanas of nara marasa of nara shena marasa. So with respect to that, one could have said that the boshes of agam and the kanas are two separate issues. And there you could argue that if she was lo amda badin, there's no kanas at all. Now leave me aside Abaye, but even that was the whole, or explaining what's going on with Abaye. Abaye is gzeres hakosav and asan lavi and ara could be exactly that the kanas is a din that the kanas is separate from the boshes subkam, and therefore assuming that the kanas everything goes through the daughter, certainly the kanas. Then even if the boshes begam might be collectible later, the kanas is not collectible. The kanas is not collectible because she was lo amda bedin and ain adam morish kanas le yarshav. Okay, so anyway, so Tosus here claims that perhaps in fact they are tied together, but Rashi and the Ravid and the Rashba say that no, that there's no question that the boshes begam always goes to the father or the brothers. And the only shayla is the kanas itself, because the kanas is a separate item. It's a separate item. The truth is, if I'm correct in my first quick read of Tosfos, where Tosfos is nitiya, Tosfos wants to equate dalet vehei and dalet vehei, kevel dal vehei, and the kanas of onis emefata, which makes sense aliba the shita satosos more than it does. Let's say according to others, because Tosus thinks that the mamon of onis emefata is tied to the knas of onis emefata, and therefore whatever the din is with respect to the mamon plus knas of onis emefata should be the same din when it comes to the mamon plus knas of a ganav. But if you believe that the Knas and the Boshes Pagam Tzar are separate issues within Knas that are unconnected, then it is possible to say that Legabe Ones Emefata, if Lo Amda Badin, there should never be Knas later. But Legabe Ganav, Like Rabbi Ganav, even though La'amad Bedin, they can be knas later. Why? Because through the agency of the Keren, the Yorshim should be eligible to collect the Kefel and the Dalet Vehe. That's once they're able to be Balei Din, to be Toveya on the Keren, everything else that comes with it. Whereas by Ones HaMefata, even if the Yorshim could be Toveya the Boshes and Pegam and Tsar, they can't be Toveya the Knas because it's a totally separate issue. But for Tosfos, the issue, the Knas and the Mamon is tied together. David.
Those are written actually make a comparison to this, to our case about Ones HaMefata, about like Knas and the Boshes and Pegam. To Kabbalah, like he at the end of with the page, he says, "Who are the call Kabbalah? The Alma, Aval P. She Lamad Alayim Bidin, Morishin Adam Levanav."
Where are you?
I looked at the bottom
of who are the call Kabbalah the Alma.
Yeah. Where is that? Oh, that, I have it at the end of Mem Aleph.
Are the words of who are the call Kabbalah the Alma?
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
Yeah. One second.
I'm just
pointing it out. So Heba Feirish distinguishes between he says that the dinim have the same din. One second. Who does he say it goes to, though? No, I understand. No, that's he morishat to lachem. We know that. That we know. But Shaila is, what's the din by amda badin? What's the din in lo amda badin ad shebagra ad shemesavia? One sec, because that's the crucial point. That's the crucial point. One second.
I just thought it would be more explicit what you were trying to say, or at least tangential.
The Bagra case is the important one. One second. He doesn't address that one case. I mean, he doesn't say what's the din when the father's alive in Bagra, who gets the boshes of Pegam and Tsar.
No, it doesn't go to the Abogaret.
I know, but that is that only the Knas, or that's also the boshes of Pegam? That's what I want to know. That's the crucial point. That's the point I was making. All right. So anyway, he writes Befeirish like Tosfos Legabe the Kefel. The problem is that there's a Gemara Baba Kama that suggests otherwise. There's a Gemara Baba Kama that suggests that the Yorshim can collect the Kefel and the Dal of the Hay. That's what Tosa struggles with on Lamed Chesam and Beis. Alright, so anyway. Okay, so that's a major machlokas harishonim, whether or not the Boshes and Pegam and the Tsa'ar, when the Nara was lo amda b'dinat shabagro, so the Knas definitely goes to the Tahar, what about the Mamon? So Tosa says the Knas and the Mamon are tied together. That is, by the way, the very simple reading of the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah says that Narsis bata boshta pugama knasa shalavia vatsar batusa. Omda badin adshalamesa av rain shalah mesa shalacham. Lois speak alamadesh mesa av rain shalatma. Omda badin shalabagra harihain. Again, it's plural. Rashba points out that what's difficult for Hishita, him and the Rav and Rashi, that it's only the knas that she gets, is that it says harihain. That's plural. Okay. Fine. So now let's take a look at the Gemara now. I don't think we read the Gemara at all. Alex, can I please pass upon you? My Kamashmalan.
My Kamashmalan.
Okay. So we know that already. So the Mishnah tells us the dinim at the beginning. So the Gemara says, no, we know what the chiddush is. Yeah, we have to know that you give it to our father. So the Gemara says, okay, so just a comment on this. So the Mishnah, so the Gemara says, you know why you needed it? You needed it because la'aviyah. We need to know that you pay this stuff la'aviyah. So the Gemara says, of course it goes la'aviyah. If it went to her, you never pay by mefata. And I want to just bring back up in this context an issue that Tosis already discussed, which is the following. Supposing a man is mefata a girl, similar to what we discussed, not the same. Mm-hmm. He's mefata a girl, and then amdabadin, and the father stands to collect, and then the father dies. Now, what's the din at that point?
It's after I'm living in, but he hasn't collected.
Sheba Garrett.
It doesn't matter, he's dead.
She has sons.
He has no sons.
She's the only, she'd be the only one to be able to get it then.
Correct.
But if there were sons, then it would go to the sons. Right?
Correct. But let's say she's the only one. But she was. She did it willingly.
But her, she no. But being her father was owed it, so it doesn't make a big difference at that point.
Correct. So that seems to be a question. In other words, mefata. Again, this is sort of a. I think this is a crucial question. It's a crucial question exactly how it works with a father and a daughter by onus and mefata. In other words, is the daughter fundamentally the conduit to the father? Or is the daughter simply the one who's tovas, she's the baldin, but the money goes directly to the father? If you say the latter, then you would expect what Chaim just said, which is, doesn't matter that she did it willingly, the bottom line is she's Yoreshes Me'aviyah. But if you believe that the money goes through her, and when the father has no other heirs, so then what you would say is that since it goes directly to her, and she, when she's the one who's no gaya b'davar, she, when she's the baldin, she herself can't claim it because she did it willingly, then it would turn out that if the father died by a mefateh, it she wouldn't be able to collect. Yitzi?
Are there other cases where one person is the baldin, but that baldin is totally, I guess, skirted, and it goes, and you know, at the Gemara Din, someone else can be paid, even not as a baldin?
Yes, but it's not perfectly analogous to this because it's not. I don't remember if the Gemara is explicit in the way it works. I know what the nafka min would be. Shibud Rav Nasan. Ruvein knows Shimon, Shimon knows Levi, therefore Ruvein knows Levi. Now, we do say, I think we do say that Levi is treated as a baldin to Ruvein there, if I'm not mistaken. I think so. The question would be, if Levi collects from Ruvein, do the balei chov of Shimon have a tviya first? If their debt precedes Levi, if Levi is collecting directly from Ruvein. So I would have thought that they do. I would have thought that they do, but I'm not sure. That's sort of the question here. In other words, the daughter needs to be there for the father to collect, but the question is, is she a pass-through? Or is the payment directly to the father? That should presumably determine the question here. By mefata, if the father subsequently dies, can she collect? And there are no brothers. Can she collect? Yes, it's.
So plausibly, it's almost like the Beit Din declares what the facts are, and the father benefits from it by receiving a knas because the Beit Din has declared this is the case.
Again, and that's if you assume it doesn't really go through her. Direct payment to the father. Okay, so the Gemara says that Lavia we don't need. Lavia Nami Pshita, why? Because if you give, you read that, right? If you give a Mefate, if a Mefate pays, obviously, if she were the one receiving the payment, so why should she pay? She did it willingly. Now, does this Gemara, what, going back to our favorite Yerushalmi, what is the Gemara assuming here that she would not receive? Right, so the question is, when the Gemara says here, so it could be that the way some would say is that the kash is only on tsar and, or let's say even better, boshes and pagam, not on knas. In other words, knas maybe a mechila doesn't work, but the Mishnah implies that she gets. That she gets everything. So that teretz, by the way, is only going to work to avoid this Gemara being against the Yushalmi, and to assume that when the Gemara asked the Kasha, it asked the Kasha on, not on Knas, but on Boshes and Pagam, you have to assume against the Rashba and Rashi and the Ravid, I think. No? Does anyone understand where I'm going with this? Nobody? Step back for a second. The Gemara says that obviously we know that the money goes to our father, because if the money didn't go to our father, then why would a Mefate be chayv to pay anything here? Why would a chayv to pay generally? Now, because pitoy would constitute mechila. So we know that the money mefate must go to the father. Now, what are we talking about when the Gemara is asking the kasha? Are we talking about knas? Are we talking about mama? Okay. Right, so you have to say it's only mammon, actually. You have no choice. Oh, no, sorry. The money would go to her father anyway. Okay, so you have to say the Gemara's kasha is on mammon. Why? Because the reason why a mefata, the reason why I pay boshes and pagam, the reason why I pay knas by a mefata to the father, the Torah says so, as Benny observes. So obviously, if we're talking about any kind of a chiddush and onus a mefata based upon a svara, you're talking about the mammon. You're not talking about the knas. Okay, so either way, it's not going to be. Right. Either way, it's not going to be around the knas. Fine. So now the Gemara says, what's the reason we need the Mishnah? Go ahead. So we need to tell us the machlokas Rabbi Shimon the Rabbanan by Amda Badin. What exactly is that machlokas? Well, that's really going to be explored. But on the surface, the machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon is?
Whether or not by the time you reach Hamada Badin, it's already considered problem.
Right, whether Hamada Badin, already subject to ultimately birur that the man is chayev, already it's considered in the rishus of the father then, well, I shouldn't say that, or b'shas gevia. Now that's one way you do explain it, but that's not the only way to explain it. What's another way to explain it? It could be that, of course, everybody agrees it's not b'shas ha'av until gevia. But that's irrelevant. What matters?
Mardin.
What?
Mardin.
No, it's a machlokas whether it's Tchilas Din or Gemardin. Not even Gemardin. Tchilas Din or Gevia. But what could the machlokas is not necessarily based upon.
Whether it has a set of counts from Mammon.
Correct. That's the other possibility. It could be, of course, it's not Bishus Av until Gevia. But the question is whether it has the status of Knas or Mama. Now.
Knas has status of Knas?
When does it change from the status of Knas to Mama?
Does it certainly do that for everyone at some point? Or
yes. I think that's pretty clear
But what's the Nachman saying that once it's been paid, the knas is now one month?
No, it means up until that point, it's knas. So if he's kofer of a nishba, he won't be chayav a karban.
Is that the only, like?
And also, it might be that if he's moda, if you don't have, let's say there's a gemar din, but now you're in another place, and we don't have edim testifying about it, until you paid, it might be considered knas, and if a moda b'knas is pater. Okay. If edim come, then you'll be chayav, presumably. So that's the question. Now, which of those two explanations is more mistamer? That the machlokas from Shin Lechachamim is about when it's considered birshuso, or when it changes from knas into mamon? Someone said the first. Defend that.
Seems simpler. It doesn't sound like they're talking about knas and mamon. That might be fair.
But it doesn't spell out what they're talking about. Yeah. Somebody else said something.
Mistaber?
Which is more logical?
The
Gemara uses that word.
Usually
that's really logical. Oh, you weren't asking what the word meant?
No, I was asking what does it mean? Which one is more logical?
Well, which one you think makes more sense? I'm asking you an opinion question. It's not a public survey in that sense. Public survey, you can have your opinion. It doesn't have to be based upon any facts or any evidence. I'd like to have something that's based upon yes. Nagar, are you going to answer something? No.
Well, I have a thought, yeah. I think it's much simpler to say the first one.
Why?
Because when the knas becomes mamon, it just seems a little like more complicated, at least. But I like that one more, to be honest, because it sounds cooler.
No, I mean, you just answered a public survey. Okay. Yitzi.
The explicit words of the Mishnah are the anonymous opinion is lamo v'din. It's about ando v'din. And the Rishon was like, no, it's about the gavot. So it just seems like it's explicitly not about knas mamon. It's about when it does this transaction occur.
Let me make a different argument. I happen to, a lot of you seem to be of the opinion that the first one makes more sense. I agree, but I have a better reason than that. What do you think? If Rabbi Shimon were arguing on that, and he thinks that Hamad Abedin doesn't change it from knas into mamon, what point would change from knas into mamon? Won't be the logical time.
When he has it,
no.
From when you die,
you're chayav.
Gemar din.
Okay.
That would have been the logical time, right?
Why Gemar din?
One of the things Rashi claims in the Gemara, and this is a chiddush, that once the din Torah has started, it's no longer knas; it's mamon, even before Gemar din. But I would have thought intuitively, it's still not amda b'din. Is still not considered mamon until Gemar din. Now, I'm not certain, but I guess it's a question you could ask on the Mishnah, but amda b'din, what does that mean? Does it mean tchilas din or sof, or Gemar din? I think we all assume it means Amda Badin. It doesn't mean the Gemar Din, unless it doesn't. You see, if it were Gemar Din and Gevia, that were the Machlokas, for sure, it's about when it's Babu Shuso, I think. Right? Then it's Mistaber. Once you get the Gemar Din, it's Mamon. But I'm flipping it around, and I'm saying it seems to me unlikely that Rabbi Shimon would say that even after Gemar Din, it has the status of Knas, so therefore it doesn't go to the Yorship. It'd be much more mistaber to say that Rabbi Shimon thinks that the criteria is it has to be bali de gvia. Was it Moshe? Were you going to say something? I'm sorry, Alex.
But then you'd have to say that if it's amda b'din, then what? He's in the court case, but they haven't solved anything yet, and he's moshe. He still has to pay.
Sounds like that from Rashi. I shouldn't say that. Right, no, I take that back. He doesn't sound that way. Maybe not.
That in thinking of it now, it doesn't seem so illogical, because I understand that a guy who comes of his own goodwill to be voted with something doesn't have to pay, but once you're in court, okay, you're in court. Yeah, of course you're all about your... Of course you're
voting now. So, let me add a crucial nakuda, though. I think what we would have to say, remember, just because you're modeh in court doesn't make you chayav pay knas. It means that if edim come after your hodah, once amda b'din, your hodah doesn't work anymore to serve as a permanent pitur. And normally, what the chiddush of modeh b'knas is pater is not ein of the mishalim knas al piyatim, and that seems everybody agrees to. The question is your hodah constitute a pitur? So the hodah, to constitute a permanent pitur, has to take place outside of Beis Din. So that's definitely possible. As I'm looking at Rashi, I'm not sure Rashi actually makes that claim explicitly. Yitzi?
I just assume that from the perspective of, I guess, both the Beit Din and the Ones himself, it is a knas. Only once the father receives the money does it turn into mammon. However, I think that's like what creates the problem for Tosfot, is that you're going to be morishes knas. It is a knas, even for chachanim, but they're going to be morish it. So it's like it has its own category. That's what's problematic about it.
I don't know. I'm not sure that's so. Alex?
Also, if we make this a pesh, knas versus mamon, so then we definitely get into the whole issue of, well, is it primarily, because the payments that the Mishnah is speaking about are knas and mamon together.
Right.
So then you have to get into the machlokes over whether or not they hold that you're primarily being tovei on knas or primarily being tovei on mamon. But it sounds like if we say the first option, then you don't have to get into the machlokes, do you? Because you say no. They're just having a debate over when is it becomes a father, irrespective of what its status is.
Say that again. If
we say that it's just a debate of when it comes, it goes into a father for sure. So we don't have to be.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. So it makes more sense to say the first way. Right. Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara is going to elaborate. Go ahead. It's not awesome. Alright, so just a comment. The word is a PL, a PTC. Pasisi would probably mean to break up into pieces. Like pasoso, so pitim. So velo PTC. Okay, now. The halacha is that if you owe somebody money, and they are tovei you the money, and you swear that you don't owe them money, and then you do tshuva and realize that you realize what you did was wrong, and you decide to be modeh, so not only do you have to pay whatever you owe, but you add a chomesh, and you have to bring a karban. It's called an asham gezelos. It's for any money that you owe someone that you, under oath, deny owing them. Now, the chachamim say that by anastu biti says biti, Yechayev karban shvuah, as we call it, Yechayev an asham gezelos, because you owe him the money. Rabbi Shimon says, not correct, because ein on the mishalim knas al piyatzmo, so if the man is tovea you, the knas for onis amafata, you don't owe him the money because it's knas, and moda b'knas is pater. If you said to him, yes, anastu biti says bitcha, what would Beis Din say to him?
Pater.
So the Gemara later will explain, ultimately, the machlokas is about what he's being toveya, the father. Is he really being toveya the boshes pagam and etzar, or is he being toveya the knas? And, in other words, Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim really agree on the din. They're just arguing on what the person's language here means. What's he being toveya? Okay. So that's straightforward. Next, the Gemara is going to come back to that, I think. On the top of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph.
Why isn't there an option to say in
a chen? No, the shayla is not. No, everybody agrees on the din. Everybody agrees that if he's chozer umoda, he pays boshes pagam and tzar, and he doesn't pay knas. The question is, he chayv a karban shvua. Being chayv a karban shvua means he denied he was kofer betviya. So now the question is, what was the father being tovea? Was he being tovea the knas, or was he being tovea the mama? If he's tovei the mammon and the guy was kofer on that, assuming he understood what the father's right. Being tovei, he's chayav to be a carbon. No, he's not chayav to be a carbon.
Obviously, the father's being tovei on all of it. So
you mean, why not say that?
The real question should be, do you say that if part of it, if it was only partly a knas, then
Now that wouldn't be a question. What would the din be if it's partly a knas and partly mamon? It's a davar pashut. What's the din? If you tovea somebody mamon and knas together, and they kofar in all of it, and they're the moda, what's the din?
To the carbon shua.
To the carbon
shua. I assume you have to
get it. Yeah, it's a slam dunk. You would kofar mamon.
So then, shouldn't that be obvious that that's what's going on here? Meaning, why are we saying what's he really being tovea? No, he's being tovea both.
So that was the choice. The chachamim in theory might hold that. Although Gemara does, the Gemara wants to really split it. But I davar pashut from tovea you something. If I'm tovea you, $100, and you say I only owe you 50, and you take a shuas modem and mix us, and you lie, and then you moda, you have to pay karen v'chomesh v'asham on the hef that you denied. And certainly here, if his tovea was I want the knas and I want the boshes and I want the pagam and I want the tzar, you'll be chayv karban shu on the boshes pagam and tzar.
Right, so I don't understand.
They should have said that. The Gemara assumes, I don't know why. The Gemara gives Teirutzim at the end, right? But it doesn't really answer your question.
I'm saying the Kulagama should have had to pay the
Kulagama. I understand. The Gemara. Okay. I don't know. It's a good question. Why do they assume? The Kasha is really in Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara's interpretation of the Chacham. Why does Rabbi Shimon assume the father's dafka being tovei the knas?
Right.
I could give you a teretz. She's a shota mafuta. Yeah, but then it won't work because the Chacham should pater as well. Okay, I don't know. Fine. Okay. Pashas v'chacham is he might be his tovei everything. Rabbi Shimon thinks that he's being tovei a knas.
There's no way to say that Rabbi Shimon thinks that if there's part of it it's knas, then you're not tovei.
Doesn't make any sense. That's why I gave you the moda b'mixas case.
Right.
Okay. Be'omine.
Be'omine abaye mirav. Ha'omer l'chavero anasta u'fisisa esbidi.
Okay. So let's see what the guy is tovei. Now, what's the difference between this case and the previous case?
They're talking about having there been
a Gemara din.
Well, Hamad.
No, v'nis chayavtali. The Beis Din Paskin that you're chayav, you owe me money. So if the guy were Moda, if he would be Moda al Pipashtus, would it be Chayev or not Chayev?
If
it
would be Moda before the Gemara?
Yeah. No, if he would be Moda now, what the guy said, would he be Chayev or Pater on the Knas? Pashtus, Rashi says, he would be Chayev. Rashi writes, Kevin the Amai Bedin Kvar, V'yavamodi le'kamar havamishalem shekvar chivu based in Rishon al Pi'edim, hashta mamona kafre v'chayev. Tosus disagrees with that because Tosus has another girsa coming up in the Gemara. What's the tzad sheni? So one tzad says, keva daba did mamona hava yumi chayva that korban shavua. O dilma,
afagav daba bedin knasu. Even if the guy was
tovei, knas hava.
Knas hava.
Tosus has dibur maschil who has it like you read who. And read the end of the Dibur Maschil Tosos, the one on the third wide line.
Odilma.
And
then what line, what is it?
Read the Dibur Maschil.
Odilma Afgav, the Amad Vedin Knasahu, Umode Beknas Pater.
Umode Beknas is Pater. So Tosos claims that no. That Enochanami, if you believe the second side, then not only are we going to say that it's knasahu and you're not chayev a korban shvuah, but it means that you're patur. In other words, you're patur if you're modem. It's habahatalia. Tosfos has a very simple dichotomy. If you were moda and you would have been chayev to pay as a result, you bring a korban. If your mimoda would not be mechayev you to pay, Then you don't bring a carbon, because your kfira didn't save you anything. Thus, the two tzadim are whether or not your hodah is mechayev you or not, if you're moda to it. Rashi says, no, everybody agrees, both tzadim agree, that if you're moda that you were convicted in another court of onus mefata, that the kanas is now mamon, the shayla is maybe a potter on a carbon shvua. Maybe a potter on a carbon shvua. So that's pretty wild. What's that?
What would the logic be to distinguish between them?
You tell me.
Why would we say that even though you're chayav, so you're patron of carbon shvua?
You tell me.
Because we do it as mammons.
It's still knas until you pay it.
Right.
Well, I hate that formulation. It's still knas until you pay it. Well, then there can't be any discussion of a carbon shvua. If I paid you it already, then obviously I can be kofer in it because I paid you already, so I don't owe you anything. So I wouldn't say that it's kanas until you pay it. I would say that it's exeris akasav, that it's always kanas. Or another way of putting it is the Gemara will formulate, I think the Gemara's formulation, ikaron kanas. In other words, for the purposes of carbon shvua, it has to be dumi yadav chichesh bamisa b'fikadon uvesu meser v'gazal ashakas amisa. Right, and the other sheet that says, no, the original way the money came about is irrelevant. Even if the money came about as a knas, but you were nischayiv in it, that's called mamon. Because haraya, if you're moda, you're chayiv. Yuri?
I think Tosos makes little sense here because he's saying...
Tosos makes little sense?
Like he makes
it sense makes a little bit of sense, yeah.
Yeah, he makes more sense to me maybe than Rashi. It's the way we read it because if he's being moda... If it's a kanas and he's punted by the kanas, that's why he doesn't have to bring korban shvua because due to the fact that he's
moda would have been pater
and we never believe him and it's a kanas, so therefore it's the same thing with the shvua.
Right. No, agreed. I said Tosus, the simplicity for Tosus is that the din remains the regular din. The chiddush is that even after Yenischayim, the fact that it originally was a kanas, ikaron kanas, now says that your moda was pater. That's a big chiddush. But you say modeh is pater. Once you say that modeh in this particular payment is pater, it's pasher that you're pater on the carbon shua. Because you weren't kofer anything that you would have been chayiv if you'd been modeh.
But according to Rashi, it's weird. He's like split.
Correct. Rashi is saying, despite the fact that you'd be chayiv if you were modeh, you're still pater on the carbon because it's exeris hakasav apparently. Yes. Yes, exactly. Okay, so now the Gemara says, okay, so he says to him that it's mamon and mechayev alei korban shvua. So there are two ways to read this Gemara. According to Rashi, how do you read this Gemara? Mamon ahave, and therefore,
because it's mamon,
no matter what, mechayev. The fact that ikaron is kanas is irrelevant. All that matters is what is it really now, and now it's mamon. According to Tosfos, the Shaila was, in fact, if I wanted to play games here, but I don't have the Girsa, no, Tosfos' Girsa doesn't help me here. I was going to suggest that maybe there's a difference between Mamona Hu and Mamona Have. Have, what is Mamona Have? Well, the form Have. There must be someone who did Aramaic grammar here. What is Have? What a kamatz. I purposely pronounced that way, yes.
Okay, so that's
a present tense to be. I know, it is a participle. Oh, you took Targum, didn't you? Yes. You can't escape the wrath. You didn't take Targum, Chaim?
I didn't know.
Oh, you did, okay. Oh, so the Troika here is guilty, okay. So Have is present tense in Aramaic. Okay, so Hove in Aramaic is present tense. It's like kosev. It's if you want to understand what it is in Hebrew, the kamatz in Hebrew would be a cholam. It's called the Canaanite shift, where I think kamatz in Eastern dialect goes to cholam in Western dialect, which is Hebrew. So you find this all the place. The word shalom. What's the word shalom in Aramaic?
Shalom.
Long kamatz. That's why, by the way, those of you who say Kaddish any Sfaradim, the Amiran. He said it right. Say it louder.
I don't want to do it
You said it right. Ba'alma. He read it as Habaras Fardid, Patach, which is Kamatz, Godal. It's not, Samash got to say Olma, right? The Lamed also has the effect on it. It's Alema, right? Because Olam in Hebrew, that's that long Cholam is a long Kamatz, and that Cholam is a long Kamatz in Aramaic. So the word Haveh, you have the word once that I know of in Chumash at least. Hoya, actually, which is like a participle. So, but it has a verbal sense, the participle, as opposed to saying Mamona who. It is Mamon, therefore you pay. What's the difference between the two in theory? Does it actually work out? Rashi's Girsa would make more sense with Mamona Have, because it has become Mamon now, namely that now you're Chayev if you're Moda. I don't care that it was Ikar and Knas. Nonetheless, you treat your Chayev a Karban Shua. Tosos, who said the Shaila was, is it Mamon or is it Knas? Meaning, if you're Moda Bo now, are you Chayev or are you Pater? Tosos says, Mamon. And therefore, Moda B'Knas is, and therefore, Moda B'Mamon is Chayev, therefore you mean a Karban Shvuah. It happens not to work out, because in Dibur Maskel Tosos, at least, if that's accurate, that may not be, it's Haveh. Right? So, okay, but it was a nice thought anyway.
Haveh is who passed, right?
What?
Haveh is passed,
then. No, Haveh is.
Right, Haveh.
That would more likely be Chirik, Havi. Doesn't have to be, but usually is pe'il or pe'al. I mean, you can get any number of forms, but no, actually, that would have been hava. Excuse me, what am I?
Yeah.
Havi is an imperative.
The first
correct.
But could you be the theory?
What?
Could you be the theory?
My suggestion. Yeah. I'm suggesting that if it's has a verbal sense, which the participle does, have. Participle also is present tense, hove. And it's often used that way, but it's not really a verb, it's really an adjective. But if it's havei, which has a verbal sense, that it becomes would be a good word, it becomes mamon, therefore you chayav a karban shvuah. What does it mean? It means because it becomes mamon, even though it was once knas, now you have to bring a karban shvuah. That follows with Rashi, because Rashi says that the kudas hasha'ela was whether or not the fact that it was Ikar and Knas, even though now it's Mamon, does that change its status with respect to Karban Shvuah? And the answer is, yes, it does change its status. The other tzad was that even though it changed its status to God and Mamon, and Modeb Mamon is Chayiv, nonetheless, you still don't bring a Karban Shvuah because it was Knas. So the answer is, Mamona Havi, it has become Mamon, and therefore, Chayiv a Karban Shvuah on the Karban Shvuah as well. If you say Mamona who, doesn't suggest a transformation issue so much. What is its status? Tosus said that the Nekuda Sashela was, is it Mamon or is it Knas? The answer is, Mamon who? Once it's Mamon, of course, you have to bring a Karban Shvuah. I don't care, the words may not break down that way, but if it helps you sort of remember what's going on here. What is the Nekuda Sashela and what is the Gemara's answer? Okay. So that's what Rava said. Now, within whom is Rabba speaking? Right. So he's speaking within Rabbi Shimon. Is that for sure? Is there any way to read it otherwise?
Well, the question was, according to Rabbi Shimon, what would you say? So then he answers.
Right. He does say Beferish. Could the question have been constructed Alavid the Chachamim? It could have been, but you have to make sure in Kimta that he's only being Tovei the Knas, meaning he collected the Mamon, the guy didn't pay him the Knas, and so you have to say that, right? So, okay. So it's Rabbi Shvacham, the assumption is there's no reason to think the case was split up. If it had been split up, had he paid one and not paid the Knas, presumably the Shail would be the same thing, because clearly the Tvi is only on what was Knas. Right? In other words, the issue here, the Nekuda here, is not a fundamentally different for Rabbi Shimon than the Chachamim. You could ask the very same question for the Chachamim, is my point, except for in this particular case, it's not going to be a question for the Chachamim, because if you didn't pay, you didn't pay, and when you're being Toveah, you're being Toveah the Mamon as well. Whereas for Rabbi Shimon Dafka, you might be Toveah only what is the Knas, or what was the Knas, and the question is, what is the status now? Fine. So now, we have a Kasha. Thank you very much. Well done. May I have another volunteer slide? Thank you very much. Okay. Eisivei, second to last narrow line.
Eisivei, Rabbi Shimon Amer, Yachol, Ha'omel Chaveiro, Anasta Ufitita Et Biti, V'hu omer lo anas di v'lo bititi. Hemichur chadavdi v'hu omer lo emis. O she'amar lo abdo, hipalta et shini v'simita et eni, v'hu omer lo hipalti v'lo simit, simeti v'abdi. V'nishba v'hoda. So, if a man says to his fellow that the second one raped or seduced his daughter, he denies it, or that his ox killed his servant, his slave, he denies it, or that his slave claims that the master had knocked out his tooth or eye, and again he denies it, and he takes a shoe on it, and then he admits it after the fact. I might think that the denier and then admitter would be chayav a karban talabomar v'chichesh ba'amito v'fikadon ovid sumet yad ovid gezel
gazel
ovid gazel. Oh, ashaket amito.
You have your osfahada there or no?
I do. I'm not looking at the side though.
I know. So okay. When in doubt, look at the side.
Ovid gazel o ashaket amito o matzah veda v'chichesh ba v'nishba al shaker. Okay. So all the examples given from Pikadon through Matzah Veda are cases of Mamon. Afkol Shein Mamon. So too, any case where there is an Asham Zelot must be a case of Mamon. Yatsvu Ilu Shein Knas. So you're not chayav on an Asham Zelot if it's a Knas. My Lav V'Sha'ala Bidin. Are we not dealing with a case where there's already a Mamon? So contradicting Rishon.
Now, why would we think that even?
Part is about to justify it.
Well, correct. In other words, when you first read this, you read this part of the Braisa, you don't really think, like, what's the Gemara thinking? It's simple. This fits perfectly, right? This is the, even if you could have a question about Nasto Pitisa, Hamish Sharchas Avdi, Hipaltas as Shine Vesimesa as Eni, so there's a Pashut, it's Knas, Yutovea Knas. The whole point is the Xeris Akasa, the din is only by Mammon. Now, why else, without the Gemara's continuation, would you think that is a case of Hamad Bedin? And Amad Bedin, again, I haven't seen anybody says, so Rashi does make it sound like Nishaye Bedin. My lab is Amad Bedin, Bedin, Achad, Ubo Edemos, Bezdem, Chivu, Bezdem, Alpiv, Achshav, Zetovo, Mash, Chivu, Bezdem, Chazav, Kafar, Vekotani, Potter. I'm beginning to wonder, by the way, even though I didn't see any Rishon say it explicitly, Amad Bedin in the Mishnah doesn't mean Amad Bedin, it means Nishaye Bedin. In contrast to Rabbi Shimon's Gava. Gava, excuse me. So, why else would you think it's a case of Amad Bedin, Alex?
Why else would you make your shvuah?
Well, I'm tovea you that you owe me, you owe me 30 shlaim because your eved gored my ox. Your ox gored my eved and killed him.
Unless we're in court, I don't have any authority to make you take your shvuah. We're in court, so you.
No, here I'm tovea you, and you say, produce your witness. In other words, what I would say is, what's the havamina that you would be chayav the karban there if you don't own the money? Right?
Was I not understanding your question?
What's that?
Did I misunderstand your question? I thought the question was...
I want to know, why did the Gemara assume it's a case of Amar Bedin? So Shlain says, because the Gemara in the continuation is going to make a point, which
right,
is that the first half of the price. But I think there's another reason. There's another reason why it should be the Gemara would assume Amad Bedin, even at the other continuation.
So what about mentioning
the rest? Say it again. I think we're saying the same thing.
Maybe we're talking about a case where the guys think you're tovei me, and then I take a shvuah.
Right.
Unless we're in, if we're talking about it, it hasn't gone into the Beis Din yet.
Then you don't owe me the money.
And I have no reason to take a shvuah, so I get lost.
Okay, but a guy, this might be my way of making you get lost. Let's say I'm Mango and you're Mutt, okay? And you say, okay, I swear it didn't happen. Personally, that could be dangerous because if I'm telling the truth, you enrage me and I pick you up and shake you. But in other words, the Mishnayos do talk about guys who take shvus outside of Beis Din. There is a discussion about that whole thing. The Gemara wouldn't even get off the ground to say no shalom b'din if you were right. There's been a famous discussion of this now in Shavuos. It's been a long, long time since the yeshiva learned Masechta Shavuos.
even swear just admitting it's a putter?
Why would what?
Why would he even swear outside of court? If Shlomo and Ben, why would he even swear just admitting would be a putter?
Because I'll get you to go, because you figure, why do we have to go to court? I'll swear to you now, and you know that even if you took me to court, I'd swear again.
No, you don't even need to swear. You just said, yeah, you're right. Putter.
You're right, but you don't want to... Whatever, so, but you didn't. You're right, you could have said that, but you didn't. Mishnah should say... Isn't there a discussion of what he does outside the base? It's the fourth parak. No. Shuas be called down. Where is that? Fifth parak? And even the Lerma Secha Shuas? Bain b'fnei based him, mishalo b'fnei based him. I think Shavuos Seidus has to be in Beis Din. But Shavuos Pikadon does not. Yeah, that's... No, it is even Shavuos... Maybe Machlokas, but by Shavuos Seidus. Okay, fine. Okay. So anyway... So it could be outside of Beis Din. It doesn't have to be in Beis Din. So the Gemara says, "Lo."
Okay,
Riba. So you see in the Reisha, how do you know that you chayav Shuas Eidus for denying kefel dalvehei? It must be a case of amad b'din, because lo amad b'din, you're not chayav kefel dalvehei. How can you be chayav Shua for denying owing money when you don't actually owe the money? That becomes effectively, it's not a truthful Shua, keep that in mind. If I said to you, I swear I don't owe you kefel dalvehei, that would be a truthful Shua. If I swear I didn't steal it from you, then that would be a false shvua, but I'm not chayiv on shvuas apikadon. I'm not chayiv. Why? Because I'm only chayiv shvuas apikadon when I am kofar something that if I were moda, I would have to pay. And since I wouldn't have to pay, since I don't have to pay, even though I did steal from you, but I'm not now chayiv in kefil dalbehei, said I am potter on the karban. On the carbon asham gazelos. Now there is a question. I don't remember how the Gemara comes down on this. That you might not be chayiv on asham gazelos. What carbon do you bring for an asham gazelos? You bring an asham, and what is it? It's an aisle stays live. But it could be that I'm chayiv on shuas bitoy, having taken a false oath. Not sure. Not sure. It's dependent upon a machlokas atanai. But you might be chayiv shuas bito. I think it's a discussion of Rav and Shmuel. Why? Because I swore falsely. Now, okay. Anyway, but you're certainly not chayiv shuas apikadon. You're not chayiv an asham gezelos. So obviously, it has to be amad bedin. The Gemara says. Okay, now the truth be told, there's an oddity because there's a straight-out stira in the Brisa. What's the straight-out stira? Anasto upitisa asbiti. In the Resha, you have ones mefata. Ones mefata masishemra. So the Mishnah says that those kenasos are mamon. And therefore, you chayav a karban shvuon. And then in the Sefer, it turns around. And it says that you potter. So what's going on? Which is it? So the Gemara says the following. Amar lei.
Amar lei. Yechel no l'shduye lach reisha b'sh'amad b'din v'seifa b'sh'lo amad b'din v'chula rabbi shimon. V'shimim v'chinke lo m'shanim amach. Im kein amar t'li oh litni reisha rabbi shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Oh, let me say about Zibir Rabbi Shimon.
Yeah, yes, you don't put Rabbi Shimon Omer in the middle. What?
Wait, so what's sorry?
The way our Bryce appears is that it starts out as follows.
Rabbi Shimon Omer.
No. Ain li ella dvarim she mishalman aleim es akeren. Tashlume kefa tashlume b'chamisha va'onis mefat tabatzi shem imayin. Tam alomer ma'al ba'al riba. Rabbi Shimon Omer, yochol ha'omer l'chaver anas to b'tis is b'ti, v'omer lo anas to b'tis, ne'emis shorchas avdi v'omer lo ha'emis, o'shemer lo avda hipalta shen if simes is eni v'omer lo hipalti v'lo simes. Si v'nishpa v'decha ha'chaim, tam alomer v'chichesh b'amisa.
Where does the
price start? It starts with, ain li ella dvarim she mishalman aleim es akeren. It's probably on that pasuk. It looks like it's a medrash halacha. This brace doesn't appear anywhere else.
All right.
Now you understand what the Gemara why the Gemara says what it said. So you have a statement that you're chayiv karban shvuah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, and he doesn't talk about all the same cases, but he talks about one case that overlaps, anasta upitiso asbiti. And Rabbi Shimon says you're potter because of this pasuk. So if the whole brisa were Rabbi Shimon, and the first part was kish amad bedin, and the second part was kish shelo amad bedin, so in the reisha, you either should have said it at the way beginning of the brisa Rabbi Shimon Omer, or at the way end of the brisa you said divrei Rabbi Shimon. The fact that Rabbi Shimon Omer is inserted in the middle obviously makes it clear it's a machlokas. Note here, by the way, just a little further evidence. Reading again, having thought about the question, because I read Rashi once, but I already had made assumptions. Rashi and Mishlam Amad Bedin on the third line, and says, "V'adayin l'ho idu edim." In other words, it is conceivable for Rashi. We were asked the question: if I walk into Beis Din Yotovami and edim haven't testified, why can't I be moed? Is that too late? Maybe I can be moed and pater myself. But once the edim testify, even before the Gemar Din, so then you're not pater anymore. In other words, if you're Tovei Amin Adin, any Eden testify that I stole from you, at that point, Moda B'Knas is not going to help me. Even though the Gemara Din hasn't happened yet. Right? Because that's Bo Eden B'Yachakach Hoda B'Knas. And my Hoda means squat after Eden come and testify. Okay. So maybe you don't actually need the Gemara Din, but you need, for Rashi, you need more than just Tchilas Din. Right? Once you have Tchilas Din, that's when you can talk about the Machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, I think. Okay. So far, so good.
Okay.
Now, here's where it gets really thorny.
Okay.
That's fine so far. It's the end of the, for this teretz. Okay. This is a little bit difficult. Now, the Gemara will end up being mitarets this, but the whole line in the first place is very odd. Did you get this far?
Yeah.
Translate the words literally. Umodina lach.
We admit or
not? No. That's actually crucial. You mistranslated. No.
Oh, they agreed that you didn't.
No. You misread it.
I.
This is why Aramaic grammar is so important. All right. So,
participial suffix.
Correct. Okay. Let me explain. I don't want to belabor. The grammar is actually not as hard a subject as it made out to be. If you're not sitting and memorizing paradigms, but you're actually reading texts, so let me just explain something very briefly. You'll see two forms. One of them, they could be easily confused. One of them is, let's say, havena, and one of them is Havena. One is with the chata patach, and one of them is with the kamatz. What's the difference between the two? So it's not just that one of them is past tense and one of them is present. The way you make the past tense in Hebrew normally is kamatz patach, right? Like omar, omra, omru. Kamatz under the first vowel. In Aramaic, it's a shva under the first vowel, which turns into a chata patach if it's a guttural. So the difference, by the way, in Hebrew, how do you say he said? Omar. I'm doing Havar Ashkenazis deliberately. I mean, that's how I speak anyway. Omar. When you see that, those three letters in the Gemara, how do you pronounce it? Well, it depends whether you think it's Hebrew or Aramaic. If you think it's Hebrew, if you think Omar Rav Yosef is Hebrew, you read Omar. If you think it's Aramaic, so the pattern is Pe'al. kisav, and if the word is amar, it's a with a patach, shva, amar. Okay? Step one. So when I tell you havena and havena, so you know that havena is, in Aramaic, havena is past tense. Havena, as I've told you already, like kosev, have, is present tense, it's a participle. But the tricky part here, what's going to throw you off, is the suffix. What, there's a difference between those two suffixes. Because na can be shortened from one of two suffixes. One of them is ana, and the other is anachna. When I say in the past tense, I wrote in Hebrew, I can either say ksavti, or the more normal form for that verb is ksavis. Okay? Hebrew, it's always a T ending. Aramaic, some verbs, it's a T ending. You would say havesi, I was. Or you could even say havis, haves, or something like that. Ksavis or ksavti. When you see a na at the end of a past tense verb, in Aramaic, it's anachnu. The way you say we wrote, ksavna. The way you say we were, ha, chatapata, havena. Now, when you say in the present, the participle, havena, that na is ana. That's I. How do you say the plural? You say havenon, anon. So when you, it's present, right. So when you, it would be, oh, I'm sorry, I apologize if I had a marker, it would just be a little clearer. The point is, you can, most of this should come intuitively to you. You don't have to memorize paradigms.
Modina.
When as soon as you see Modina, the mem tells you, if you know a little bit of biblical of Hebrew, the mem tells you immediately what? It's present tense. You don't get that in the kal, but in the pl, midaber. In the hifil, malbish. In the hispail, mislabesh. Okay, it's except for in the kal binyanim, the mem tells you it's a participle. It's present tense. So when you say modina, you know you're looking at present tense. If it were we are moda to you, it would be modinon. But because it's I, it's modina. One of the things that, interesting enough, this is a feature of Babylonian Aramaic, that you take a suffix and you stick it on. And it worked its way back into the edited manuscripts of the Mishnah. In good Mishnaic Hebrew, you will never find the form. I'm sure you've all, how do you say, I am receipt of a tradition? It's a very popular rabbinic idiom. Mikublani. Mikublani. Number of times you find it in the printed Mishnayos. Mikublani, which is a contraction of Mikublani. It means I am in receipt of a tradition. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Mikublani, Mir Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shekibel Rabbo, Rabbo Ne Rabbo, Halach Lamoshe Misinai, She'in Eliyahu Ba, Ela Latame, Lo Latame, Latar, and so on and so forth. Mikublani. You even find by Choni HaMa'agel, you remember him? Gozrani Alecha Nidu, Shem Ben Shetach Shet. That's a Babylonian form. In good Hebrew, Eretz Yisrael Hebrew, in the good manuscript, it's Gozer Ani. Mikubal Ani, or Ani Mikubal. It's an Aramaic feature. So here, it's kind of standard, especially in Babylonian Aramaic. Modina. So now when you look at Modina, it's got to be a singular. I am Moda. And it matters because who's talking? No! Rabbah! In other words, firstly, it's Aramaic, so it's probably not a continuation of Rabbi Shimon the Chachamim. But it can't be the Chachamim being Moda, L'inyan Karban Shur, the Rachman HaPatri, Rabbi Shimon. Right, the Chachamim would be the ones who would vote it to Rabbi Shimon. It can't be a plural, you know that immediately. So therefore, Modina has to be Rabba speaking. So now you got to put what Rabba said earlier together with this. After all is said and done, Rabba said to him, Mamonahu mechayev alei karban shvua. Then he says, Modina l'chal inyan karban shvua d'rachmana patre. What's going on? You escaped the stira, Nagar, because you misread the word. This is I'm not faulting you. This is, by the way, this is a beautiful demonstration of why knowing grammar. Again, you don't have to memorize the paradigms, but understand the salient features of Aramaic and what you study Chumash and the basic feature of biblical Hebrew is crucial. You'll learn grammar. The way I learn grammar is not by reading grammar books. I learn grammar by reading texts. Okay, I did later study. So Aramaic I study more for. I never took a biblical Hebrew course in my life. I learned the paradigms that some of you did in high school.
Do you recommend that over taking the normal Hebrew course?
If you want to sit and for hours read Tanakh over and over, yes, I do. You are much better suited. Then when you read a grammar book, it's just sort of filling the gaps of what you know already. When I want to know how a verb is formed, I don't think to a paradigm chart. I start going through my head to psukim that I think sort of match kinds of verbs that sound like that, and how is it, how, you know, an apostle pops into my head. That's the way grammar is supposed to be done. It's supposed to be on your retext, and you learn inductively, as we call it. So anyway, so again, that's why you don't need to study formal grammar. When you read the Gemara, read precisely. That's why it's good. It's hard to get access, unless you're the Steinsaltz, to have a vocalized Gemara, because the vocalization there will have been done, generally speaking, punctiliously, and therefore, eventually, you start to kind of pick up. You read enough text, you know the meaning, you start to pick up on forms.
Why don't we vocalize it? I mean, we vowelize it.
Like, vocalize.
Vocalize, yeah.
Why not then look at the Yemenites do, don't they? Don't they have some printers?
Yeah, but it's different.
No, it's unfortunate. We don't, because it would have cost the printers a lot of money early on. They weren't going to do that. It would have a lot more work.
You can buy them now.
You have to our subjects. I've seen Vilna Shas's. The library, I haven't been there a long time to look at it, has, I don't know how good the vocalization is, but it exists. So Steinsaltz vocalizes it. Okay, so anyway, Modin, so this is the problem that I'm going to leave you with, because I'm not going to answer now. Umodin alacha le'inyan karban shua derachmana patria mevechichesh. The chika mina. Go ahead.
Okay.
So firstly, since we were talking about grammar, what is ka amina?
I am saying.
I am saying. It's a contraction of three words: ka, omer, or amar. Either way, I don't care the vowel. The key part in amar, omer, is not whether what's under the mem; it's what's under the aleph. If it's a kamat, you know it's present tense. Okay. In this case, the contraction kills that. But ka. Omar Ana. Ka, what does ka, by the way, mean? It's short for ka'im. It doesn't mean anything. It's a particle that's not translated. But ka'i really does mean ka'im. Lots of letters do nasty things and drop in Aramaic, Babylonian Aramaic, that don't drop in other dialects. Right? All sorts of letters drop when you don't expect them to. What? That verb already drops in Biblical Aramaic. Yeah, kinema. Which is like lemor. Lema. In lema, you see a drop. Lema means, should we say, lemor. That's what it means. But basis drop, the word two, what is the word two actually supposed to be? Tuv means shuv. No more, again. Right? That's what two is. Right? It's just a contraction of tuv. They're all over the place. You just have to start looking. Tufts drop at the end of words. You often have verbs. Remember I told you ksavis? Very often you'll see a form like ksavi, all over the place. And to realize what the person is, that it's ani, you have to know that the tuf drops in Babylonian Aramaic frequently. Not on that verb, but if I pass the verb, I'll point it out to you. But again, you learn that. I learned grammar more formally, less inductively. Biblical Hebrew, I learned inductively. It's best to learn inductively reading texts, in my opinion. Okay. So he says that ki ka amina mamona have lehorisho levanov. Okay, so clearly Rabbah, for some reason, the Gemara changes what Rabbah is saying, or Rabbah changes what he's saying. Originally, he was arguing that it was Mamon for what purposes? For Karban Shvuah. Once Beis Din is Gomer the Din on you, once it's Amad Bedin, whatever that means. Once it's Amad Bedin, and the way Rashi says, your Hodah cannot pati you anymore, it's Mamon and you bring a Shvuah. Rabbah says, no. You're putter, according to Rabbi Shimon, on Karban Shvuah. Rather, why do I say it's Mamon? Lehorisho Levanov. Because Adam is not Morish Knas Levanov. And this is really what brings Tosos into quoting this Sugya. This is the point, that ain't Adam Morish Knas Levanov. Alex?
So the language of Chaya from earlier is now rendered off unnecessary. There's no
you mean in Rabbah's words?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a problem. It's a problem.
So essentially, he's retracting that word.
What's that? Tosus on Mem Bezem and Aleph, Tiba Maschal Amar, the second one at the bottom, says that those who are mochik the words of Michaev Elo Karban Shvuah. He said Mamona, then Abaye understood, or the Gbakshan understood, that he was talking about Karban Shvuah, and now he turns and says, by the way, I'm not talking about Karban Shvuah anyway, I'm talking about Lahuisha Levana. So even though I managed to deflect your whole question, right, nonetheless, it's I'm not even talking about that. What's on about?
Didn't even answer the question.
Come on. So once you say that, why did he feel the need to make an ukipta? You could have said that it's Amad Bedin Ali but the Rabbi Shimon. And still he says Pater. Right? The Gemara had to answer by saying Lo Amad Bedin, but it could have said Amad Bedin. So why does Rab all of a sudden Modina Lacha? It's very difficult. Okay.
Is it possible?
Okay, so now, of course, by saying Lahurisha Levanav, he's put himself in an awful bind because it's against the Mishnah. It's against the Mishnah. Because why? Because we know that Rabbi Shimon believes that it's not Lahurisha Levanav until it's actually collected. And so that's going to be the next question in the Gemara tomorrow.